Hi, I'm Louise Poole, and this is the Rainbow Briefing for Wednesday, the 11th of February. Your daily LGBTQIA plus news catch-up, recorded and produced on Yugambeh and Yuggera land. In today's briefing, a landmark study takes on trans sports bans, 139 films land in Sydney for Mardi Gras, and Olivia Colman gets real about gender. A major new study has found no significant physical advantage for transgender women over cisgender women in sport after at least a year of hormone therapy. It's the most comprehensive analysis of its kind, published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, one of the world's top sports science journals. And it lands at a critical moment. Right now at the Winter Olympics in Italy, Swedish mogul skier Ellis Lundum is competing in the women's category, even though he identifies as a man. Under current rules, Lundum competes aligned with his sex assigned at birth. It's a reminder that the question of where trans athletes fit in sport is far from settled. A team from the University of Sao Paulo reviewed 52 studies involving more than 6,500 participants. They measured the things that matter in sport: upper body strength, lower body strength, aerobic capacity, body composition. Yes, trans women retained higher lean muscle mass than cis women, but that extra mass didn't translate into any measurable performance advantage. On the metrics that actually determine how athletes perform, strength, power, oxygen consumption, trans women and cis women were comparable. The researchers make the point that lean mass alone is an incomplete measure of athletic ability. In some sports, like cycling and climbing, carrying more mass without added function could actually be a disadvantage. Lead researcher Bruno Guilano says the findings refute the logic behind blanket bans. He says most of those policies assume trans women retain inherent advantages and the data simply does not support it. The study does acknowledge gaps. Most research has run for less than 3 years. There's very little data on elite level trans athletes, largely because there are so few, and almost no studies on young people who received puberty blockers. But the conclusion is clear. The evidence supports sport-specific policies, not blanket exclusions. And the timing matters. The IOC, under new president Kirsty Coventry, reversed its previous inclusive approach last year and is expected to release new eligibility rules this quarter. In 2023, the Australian Institute of Sport recommended an evidence-based case-by-case approach to trans inclusion, rejecting blanket bans. But since then, several Australian sports have gone the other way, following international federations in restricting trans women from elite competition. This study is now the strongest evidence base available for Australian sporting bodies and for the IOC as it decides its next move. The Mardi Gras Film Festival, Australia's biggest LGBTQIA plus film event, opens in Sydney tomorrow. The 33rd festival is screening 139 films from 38 countries across a fortnight. And this year, it's the trans and gender diverse program that's generating real buzz. Queer Screen CEO Benson Wu says the response has been overwhelming, and not just from the trans community. He says audiences are leaning into this creativity, not only to support the work, but to learn something more. The closing film, She's the He, is a bold reinvention of the teen comedy through a queer and trans lens. There's a deeper love that's been a decade in the making, tracing the rise of trailblazing trans performer Miss Peppermint. And Second Nature, narrated and produced by Elliot Page, exploring gender and sexuality in the natural world. Wu says it's about more than just the films. People want to come to the cinema and come together with their community. Sometimes, he says, it's just as simple as that. The festival runs from tomorrow through till February 26. Comedian and writer Stephen Oliver and drag legend Shani T-Bone are being inducted into the Sportsman Hotel's Drag Hall of Fame this Saturday. The Hall of Fame recognises exceptional lifetime achievements in drag entertainment in Queensland and beyond. Stephen Oliver, who you might know as the face of hit TV show Black Comedy, and Shani, who spent more than 20 years on the drag scene before announcing her retirement last year, are both being honoured for their contributions. The ceremony is this Saturday night at the Sportsman's Hotel in Brisbane from 10 p.m, hosted by fellow Hall of Famer Miss Synthetic. Oscar-winning actor Olivia Colman, known for The Crown, The Favourite and Heartstopper, has been reflecting on her relationship with gender. In an interview promoting her new film Jimpa, which premiered at Sundance, Colman said she's always felt sort of non-binary. She was quick to add, "Don't make that a big sort of title." But she says she's never felt massively feminine in being female. She told the interviewer she's always described herself to her husband as a gay man. Coleman says she feels at home in LGBTQIA plus spaces. And Australia's biggest regional Mardi Gras kicks off in Broome next week. Broome Pride is turning the Roebuck Bay Hotel into a three-stage festival precinct for 2 weeks, running from February the 19th through to March the 2nd. The program has everything from drag makeup workshops for kids and adults to pride trivia, cabaret nights and a big dance party headlined by UK act Freemasons and Ministry of Sound's Paul Morrell. Broome Pride co-chair Tamara Birchall says the festival is about visibility, inclusion and creating spaces where everyone feels welcome. Tickets are on sale now at broomepride.com. That's the Rainbow Briefing for Wednesday, the 11th of February. I'm Louise Poole and this is Independent Queer Community Media. Your support is crucial to its success. Share the bulletin, tell your community, leave us a review and find us on socials. And if you've got community news to share, submit a story at rainbowbriefing.com.au.